This is y nada más. A Real Madrid Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I'm finally back. I missed a podcast last week, and I know I've been trying to get back to you guys for a couple days now, but essentially I had technical difficulties with my mixer, with the cameras, all the stuff that was happening in my mic. There was a whole bunch of issues going on that we couldn't figure out here in the studio. We ended up having to get some new cables and some other stuff like that. Just, you know, typical things that would happen, I guess, technologically, I guess, you know. So it's actually been four games pretty much since that's how crazy the schedule has been. It's been about four games since I've been able to talk to all of you guys. For those of you that listen to the podcast, and for those of you that enjoy the podcast, it's been about four games since I've been on the podcast or been able to comment on anything. And the funny thing is, exactly when I was going to jump on the podcast, and I was thinking we're going to be high flying and everything's going crazy, you know, everything's been going absolutely, as we would say in the States, swimmingly. That is not what happened, you know, not to say that we, you know, obviously, listen, guys, I mean, there's a lot of things I want to talk about when it comes to, in regards to people, you know, jumping the gun, getting way too reactionary. You know, they're only looking at the results. They're not paying attention to the rest of the things that are going on. Of course, you know, it's like one little blip. And everything, all of a sudden, people think that the world is coming to an end. And I just don't understand that mentality, you know, that mentality of like, you know, one bad game all of a sudden is indicative of the fact that the whole world is going to come crashing down, in the sense of that the team is just absolutely falling apart. A couple bad decisions, let's say, from Carlo Ancelotti, a bad game or two from a couple different players is all of a sudden means the end of the world for the entire team. And it's kind of ridiculous to me that there is so many reactionary people on. But, you know, I can't really blame. It doesn't surprise me anymore. As somebody who works, I work in social media for the company that I work in. And then besides that, I do this podcast. And nothing surprises me out of social media anymore. Nothing surprises me out of Twitter. Nothing surprises me on Instagram. Nothing surprises me on Facebook. You know, just some people, man. Some people, some Madridistas, unfortunately, it's crazy, you know. And I'm not going to tell people how they should be, you know, fans or what makes them a fan or doesn't. Some people look at things a totally different way than I do. But it rubs me the wrong way. And if you feel like you're getting called out, then you're getting called out. You know, that's the way I'm going to work on this podcast, man. It is my podcast. And essentially, if you listen to it, you listen to it. And if you don't, you don't. You know, that's the whole way it works with podcasts, right? But So let's talk about a couple things. I mean, obviously, so I've been gone. Like I wasn't able to do the podcast last week. I was able to do the podcast this week. Four games have gone by, essentially. And that is four games, starting with the Champions League game, the win over Inter, then the win over Valencia, and then the win against Mallorca, and then the draw this weekend against Villarreal. So four games where really things were flying high, and then all of a sudden, even with a draw against Villarreal, it's funny that people all of a sudden think, you know, it was a, you know, that this is like spelling disaster for the rest of the season, you know. Sure, I mean, they're games that we should win, but it was a draw and it was against a team. You know, and I want to get into that a little bit because I want to talk about some other things here. But, you know, Villarreal is not a bottom of the table team, you know. So for people expecting that we were going to walk over them the same way we walked over teams like Mallorca, you know, is ridiculous. And I don't understand where that thought process comes from, because, you know, everything goes really well. And then you think, oh, OK, the next starting 11 should be the same one because we beat Mallorca. And, you know, unless you're a, you know, world class coach, you know, I really think pundits can be anybody these days. They could be somebody in front of their computer like I am. They could be somebody recording something from their cell phone. There could be somebody making a YouTube video like I am. Like this is, you know, this, if you're listening to this episode of the podcast, it's also on YouTube, on our YouTube channel. You know, anybody can say anything about it, you know, and be an expert on anything these days. And really very few of them are experts, aside from maybe people who, you know, basically I feel that people who played the game, before, or people who coached the game before, or people who have just been involved in sports media for a long time. And then you have a lot of other people that are like statisticians and things like that, working in media and working now and looking at stats and coming up with all these, expected goal percentages or whatnot. And it's just so much information. So, you know, and so many people has an opinion and so many people can voice their opinion. And, you know, I'm one of them, so I'm not taking myself out of that equation. But I think, you know, it's easy to fall prey to people being reactionary to people or feeling like, you know, just because this person said something, that word, you know, and if you follow that person, their word is law or something like that. Or because even if they played the game in some capacity, that their word is essentially more valuable than somebody else who, I don't know, man. I feel like sometimes there are people that are outside the sport that can analyze things and look at things a lot more objectively than people who are in the sport, you know. And then you have a lot of different things playing factors in there. There's biases of whether they like the team or don't like the team that they're talking about. And especially when it comes to Madrid, I think there are so many anti-Madridistas that everyone's going to have an opinion when there's one slip up from this team. That really, you know, it's funny that for Madridistas, we have to not only accept or take criticism from anti-Madridistas who are going to take any opportunity and any slip up to absolutely drill the team, and drill by drill, I don't mean in a positive way, you know, absolutely just go at the team. But then, you know, aside from that, the fans are also coming after the team, even though a couple of days ago they were absolutely thinking the team was doing a phenomenal job, you know. And it's still the start of the season, you know, it's still very early in the season. There are so many things going on, you know, with injuries and things like that right now with the club. You know, Ancelotti's still testing, I think, who he wants to play. And there are things I don't agree with, and on things I probably agree with some of you on. But I just don't understand that attitude of, like, you know, all of a sudden, like, you know, this was the most terrible game of the season. I saw some people saying, you know, Benzema should be out of the team. Casemiro should be out of the team. Why are we playing, you know? I understand the Asensio hatred, because there was a lot of people who didn't like, you know, felt like Asensio, me included, who felt like Asensio didn't have really much to deliver to this team. But Asensio does what he does, which is essentially he shows up occasionally and does a spectacular job, and then all of a sudden disappears a few games, and then shows up again and does a spectacular job, and then shows up and then disappears for a few games. And it's all about consistency. That's what we've discussed, and I think a lot of people have discussed in the past, is that to really know what world class is, or to really be world class, you essentially have to be able to show consistency day in and day out. And Asensio doesn't do that, so I understand the criticism of Asensio. I understand the criticism of Isco. You know, so there's a lot of different things, and then there's favoritism within our own fan base that you are a fan of a player and you follow the team essentially because you like one player, and if they don't play that player, then you're angry because they didn't play your favorite player. Well, for those people that follow the team like that, I say screw your favorite player, man. You know, I don't care who your favorite player is. I don't. As long as the team is winning, I couldn't possibly care less if whether or not they played somebody's favorite player in the Twitterverse, you know. And the fact that they don't, you know, put somebody in that you are absolutely a huge fan of, I don't know. I couldn't possibly care less. At the end of the day, the team is the team, you know. The team is what the results and getting the trophies is what matters. If, you know, if your favorite player goes somewhere to another team, you know, then follow him. Follow him or her or whatever and go to that other team, because you're not a fan of the team. You're a fan of the player. And I really, you know, that happened with Cristiano, and that happened. I'm pretty sure everyone was a diehard Barcelona fan when Messi was on the team. But what happens is they were diehard Messi fans. They weren't diehard Barcelona fans. And now they're opening PSG accounts everywhere and following PSG because Messi is there now. You know, Cristiano, you have a lot of Cristiano fanboys that would jump from Real Madrid to Juventus to now Manchester United. And they will swear to you that from day one they were Juventus fans, they were Real Madrid fans, or they were Manchester United fans. I don't really give a shit about, you know. So, you know, to me, it's ultimately about Real Madrid, whoever is on the team. You know, it could be Vinicius Jr., it could be Karim Benzema, who we absolutely love right now. But if Karim Benzema leaves and some other guy comes in, his name is Fulano Rodriguez or whatever his name is, that guy, if he starts scoring goals and he takes us to the top, that guy is the guy that everyone's going to love. The guy that Madridistas are going to love. But if he leaves, at the end of the day, the loyalty is to the crest. I don't care if the club, as much as I like some guys, I don't care if the club does them dirty. You know, if the club says, you know, you're getting old, it's time to go. As much as sometimes it bothers me that they do it and that we don't, are not always nice to our legends, you know, business is business. The game is the game. And you got to look past it and just figure, you know, realize that that's just the way football is. And I don't even think that the players are always as loyal to the shirt as they sometimes would seem. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I love Benzema because he's an absolute Madridista. I love Modric because he's an absolute Madridista. Kroos, you know, I think Vinicius is on his route as well. Valverde is another one who's on that route as well. You know, all of those guys have that mentality. They are 100% Madridistas. And sure, it will kill us if they ever go somewhere else. But the team rolls on. And I'll follow them. Like, you know, I still am sad that Sergio Ramos left. But I have such a disdain for PSG now that I don't even care if he goes as much as I want him to succeed, I don't want PSG as a whole to succeed. You know, I don't. And you know, if he were, it's like, I don't know, if Valverde goes somewhere else. I mean, people, I'm from a Colombian background. So my family, I followed James, and I loved James being at Real Madrid. And there was a bunch of Colombian fans that just jumped on the bandwagon because James was at Real Madrid. And then as soon as, like, you know, Zidane wasn't playing him, they immediately were like, ah, Zidane, he's got, you know, he's jealous. He doesn't like James. You know, he doesn't like Colombians or some crap like that. And all of a sudden they're like against Real Madrid because he, you know, they felt he was treated badly. You know, man, he didn't cut it. He didn't cut it. He went to another team. He didn't cut it there. He didn't cut it at Everton. He didn't. And then he's at, what is it, Al Rayyan or something in Qatar? You know, there's a, you know, those types of, you see that there was there's a pattern to some of his behavior that led him down the route that he's currently at. And that's nobody else's fault but his own. And I'm not going to stop being a Real Madrid fan simply because James left, you know? I wish him well wherever he goes, and I wished him well every single time. And I would tune into the games because, you know, I'm a Colombian soccer fan. So, But I'm a Real Madrid soccer fan and I'm a Colombian soccer fan, but I'm not going to follow, I'm not going to simply like a team because a Colombian player is there. You know, I love Falcao to death. Probably my best, my favorite Colombian player ever. Not only because he's a solid player and he was an absolute, one of the top players in the world during his time, when, you know, when he was in his prime, when he was at Atletico Madrid and even at Porto, like those times, River Plate, when he started in Argentina, you know, all of those three teams, like that was the Radamel Falcao that we all remember being like one of the top players in the world. And then, you know, injury got him, you know, after his move to Monaco, and he was never really the same after that. But he always had a mentality of trying and continuing, and he was always – the dude is a really good dude. He's a really nice guy, man. So, you know, his personality, a lot of people love him. So I am so happy to see him shining right now at Rayo Vallecano. So I follow that team simply because I want Rayo to do well, but it's because I want Falcao to do well, and he scored already – he's had three games with Rayo Vallecano and he scored in every single one of them. So kudos to that dude. But that's really the only reason I'm watching Rayo Vallecano. I mean, let's be real. That's the only reason. You know, they've had a rivalry with us for quite some time. So, you know, I'm just following them because I want them to do well. But when it comes to Real Madrid, that's the team that I follow. And I'm not here for one player, you know. So I just... going to this whole Twitter thing, man, that's the thing that drives me nuts. And I had to get it off my chest because it was something I was thinking about all day as I was surfing through Twitter, reading things during the day yesterday after the game. And it's just like, man, why does everybody get so angry? You know, and it's some people that are, yeah, they favor one specific player or, you know, and then or that, or it's just like doom and gloom, or it's just like the no, not like I have no tolerance. I just want everybody off the team now. I want Casemiro gone. I want, you know, he's been shit. Nacho's been crap. All these guys, you know, they should be off the team. We don't have any right backs. Why is it that Real Madrid hasn't signed any right backs? I mean, yeah, I get it. There's things to be frustrated about. But, you know, one outing, one not positive outing isn't the end of the world in a season that has, what is it, 38 games? It just isn't the end of the world. Well, 38 games in La Liga, you know, more so in the Champions League, depending on how you do, and the Copa del Rey, depending on how you do. So, there, you know, there's a lot of games, and there's still time to do well, whether it's in La Liga, whether we're going to win the Champions League, you know, and the Champions League, I still see it very tough. You know, if I am a quote-unquote honest Madrid fan, because there's a lot of those accounts on Twitter. But, yeah, so... with that said, let me get some stuff because I started out the wrong way, essentially, of the how I like to do the podcast. So social media, remember, guys, it's right there on the ticker below. If you guys are watching, you guys can watch. If you're listening right now, you can also watch the YouTube version of the podcast on YouTube. You can check it out on our YouTube channel, Y Nada Más Podcast. Look it up on YouTube. You'll find us there. And then in addition to that, you can also find... you can also find our social media here, which is on the ticker below. We are on Instagram at YNM Podcast. We are on Facebook at Y Nada Más Podcast. We are on Twitter at Y Nada Más Podcast. And Twitter is where I am most active. That's where you can find me, Eric Rivera, personally, myself typing, da 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 da. I'm always behind the Y Nada Más Podcast account. That's pretty much me. And aside from that, we also have our website, which is ynadamas.net, which is where my good friend Trombach, who's also helping out, he's our senior contributor here for Y Nada Más Podcast. He writes for a lot of other periodicals that have to do with European football. But he also writes for us, and he's doing a great job there. So shout out to him. And also shout out to all the fans out there, wherever you guys are at, you know, hit me up. Let me know where you guys are listening to us from. We got some really good comments and ratings on our podcast channel on Apple Podcasts. So that's really cool to see when we get like new ratings and new comments there saying they like the podcast. I really appreciate that, guys. So keep those coming. I mean, thank you for that. Let me know where you guys are listening to the podcast from. Right now I know it's pretty much USA is number one in the sense of the podcast listening, but then besides that, after that it's India, and then it goes to I think Venezuela, a couple of South American countries, then we got like Bangladesh, we got a couple different spots out there in the Middle East. So, you know, I thank you for all you guys that are listening to way out there as well. You know, if you are listening to on Apple Podcasts, guys, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a comment and leave a rating, because that helps us rise up in the ranks on Apple Podcasts and helps us get through, you know, get up there in the rankings of sports podcasts. And, you know, we want to get up there. We want to get up there and be one of the podcasts that you guys are looking for. You know, I really want to bring in some more people. I've been talking to some people on Twitter and stuff. So I want to bring in some more people, other Madridistas that are interested in jumping on the show. And I'd like to do that as well. So we're going to do that further down the line. And I'm also thinking about bringing my good friend Jota Real Madrid back on. He runs, of course, Jota Real Madrid is his YouTube channel. Does a lot of stuff in Spanish, has Real Madrid Hub. So you can listen to a lot of news there daily on a daily basis at Real Madrid Hub and Jota Real Madrid. And so I'm going to thinking about bringing him on as well in a future version of the podcast, as well as Trambach and then other people that are interested. Shout out to the people from the Madridista Roundabout, which was a podcast I was on a couple of episodes ago. They do a great job, AJ and Prasana, I think it is. So listen to them, check out their podcast as well. And that's pretty much it on the social media end of things. So going back to the games, yes, we like I said, it's been four games since I've talked to you guys. You know, and everything was running really, really well. I mean, and I wouldn't say really, really well. I mean, everything, every win kind of came with that iffiness, you know, where we still are not entirely happy with what we're seeing on the field. Defensively, I think there, you know, I don't think, I know, and I'm sure all of you on Twitter would agree, there are still a lot of issues to fix. You know, it's there, you know, Mendy is still not available. Carvajal is injured again. The only other options we have at right back at this point are Nacho, who also happens to be one of our center backs, and Lucas Vazquez, who isn't really a natural right back as is, but has played that position before, done well, but he's been off and on, did really well last season, but this season has not looked as good. And then, of course, we have David Alaba. And then, of course, we have Militao. So that is our defense. And we have Vallejo. But Vallejo is sort of, at this point, I think, not many people want him on the team. Not many people see him as an option. Who knows if Ancelotti sees him as an option. But he's not one of the favorites at Madrid. Personally, I know he's done very bad in the past. And there are highlights of him not doing so well as a defender. But if he's at Madrid and, you know, he saves our ass, then on a couple of occasions, he's good in my book, although I would rather not play him if there are more experienced and talented players there. But I won't just shit on a guy for the sake of shitting on the guy because he happens to have had problems and may not be one of the best, but whatever, you know. I just don't crap on professional players, I guess, because they're professional for a reason, you know. So with that said, or I try not to crap on them. You know, there are times where I have, you know, and I think we're all guilty of it. But anyway, so moving on to there, you know, Inter Milan, the game, you know, and the funny thing is, with against Inter Milan, a lot of people were like questioning Real Madrid. You know, we came and we won the game in the last minute, pretty much not the last minute, but in the second half, towards the end of the game, goal from Rodrigo, you know, gets on the pitch. The young guys get on the pitch. Camavinga, you know, Vinicius, who has been on a tear. You know, it was a combination between Vinicius, Valverde to Camavinga, who makes a beautiful run, sets up the pass for Rodrigo. Rodrigo scores the goal. You know, we win the game against, you know, against Inter, one of the toughest teams, winners of La Serie A last season, and we win in San Siro, you know. And that is interesting because a lot of people were very, you know, obviously we were dominated by Inter in the first half, a definitely terrible first half where we were dominated by them. That's the thing. I feel like people have this feeling that Real Madrid has to roll over everybody because they're so used to if you have watched during the, you know, CR7 era, you know, the era of Cristiano, you are used to us beating everybody that was put in front of us. And that's not the same team anymore, guys. And you have to wake up and smell the coffee or smell the roses as they, whatever it is you want to be smelling, you know, that can, you could take that any which way you want. But you got to wake up and realize that this is a team that is in a totally like restructuring. So saying, you know, they were total shit in the first half. Yeah, they were. But that doesn't take away from the fact that they won the game because in the end, they faced Inter, you know, that has guys like Barella, who just won the Euro Cup with Italy, who also won the Serie A with Inter. They have guys like Brozovic, who had an incredible game. They have guys like Skriniar, who also had a great game. De Vrij, who had another good, or De Vrij, however you would pronounce his name, who had a great game as well. They were solid defensively, and they were a nightmare for us. They were a nightmare for us, and we were still able to break through and win the game. Those types of games will happen when you face better opposition. And why am I bringing that up? Because I don't understand why everybody thinks that there's so many times that we think that we have to absolutely roll over teams and that every team, because you might have been used to us scoring 5, 6, 7 goals in the past, even 4 goals in the past, you know, that we're going to be able to do that every single game. It's just not possible. You know, I see people sometimes, you know, surfing Twitter while I'm watching the game that are already frustrated when we haven't scored a goal after 15 to 20 minutes. You know, this isn't basketball. This isn't football, like American football. This is, you know, football as in, you know, European football, world football, essentially. You know, it's not a high scoring game. And because of the fact that, you know, we play, yes, offensive football, and we're trying to be very, you know, I guess, you know, definitely under Ancelotti, we're being a lot more vertical. We are being a lot more aggressive. There is a lot more attacking football, which is making for more goals being scored, but it leaves us open at the back, considering also that we lost two of our best center backs, you know, in our squad, who happen to be two of the best center backs in the world, and one who happens to be one of the best center backs of all time. So we lost those guys, and we replaced them with another guy who's a talented center back, but is coming to Madrid and the likes of, you know, with the likes of Alaba. And two guys that did very good last season when we needed them in a pinch, but is it going to be possible for them to repeat those heroics again? And I'm talking about Nacho and Militao. Who knows? It could be. It could be and it could not be. You know, we have to see how it's all going to play out. But, you know, I just think, you know, this is still a work in progress. You know, this is still the beginning of the season. You know, we're not even at like match day, you know, we're not even halfway there. We're not even halfway done with the season. We're not even at the halfway point. And people are already feeling like, you know, this is, you know, sometimes making all sorts of comments like, you know what, and we have injured players. So, you know, just, you know, already trying to make comments. You know, we're not, and I see it from pundits too, like on ESPN and things like that. They're not going to win with this defense and things like that. When we're still trying to iron out details. Then we go and we play Valencia, which is another tough team. It's not the same Valencia. I mean, it is the same Valencia, but they have looked a lot better under Bordalas than they did last season. You know, so, before playing us, you know, they were scoring goals. Then they've fallen off ever since they played us. They probably got tired trying to play the way they played versus Real Madrid. But they always show up versus Real Madrid. And it's always been tough for Real Madrid playing in Mestalla. They always put up a fight. They always make it a really gritty game. And the fans at Mestalla always make sure to make it a very difficult environment for the Madrid players. So to be able to pull out a win, regardless of how gritty and dirty and horrible the win might have been, you know, although it was a great, is it still a win? You know, a defensive mistake by Lucas Vázquez, who definitely, yes, As a right back, we need another right back. I said that as much on Twitter. We need another right back. You know, it's he makes a mistake that, you know, opens the door for Hugo Duro to score, a player who was at Madrid last season, scores the goal for Valencia. And then it's all, you know, trying to fight back. But the great thing about Madrid, and this is something that I honestly want to say, I feel like Zidane instilled in this squad, because we saw it a lot during the era that Zidane was coach, and it kind of has always carried over, and even more so, even more so last season when we were fighting against COVID and we were fighting against so many injuries. Zidane made this team, I would say we don't give up ever because it's Real Madrid, but, you know, we have the saying, hasta el final vamos Real, but this team's just, it seems like when they get scored on, they get even more dangerous as of late. And I think that is something that is really interesting. I mean, when we get scored on, as frustrating as it might be, I'm always kind of interested in seeing how we react. And we always seem to react very well. Guys like Vini, guys like Karim Benzema, guys like Modric, you know, it's like they get fired up. Valverde, you know, Valverde is insane when it comes to, the passion he has for this game and for this team, essentially. He's been so solid. So I really think that's something that I saw in that game against Valencia, and we were able to get a goal. Vinicius, of course, on fire again. Vinicius scores the goal with an assist from Benzema, and then Vinicius returns the favor for the assist to Benzema, and Benzema scores the header, a winning goal, you know, towards the end of the game. I think it was in the 88th minute. And we end up winning the game 2-1 in a very difficult field. Then we have the Mallorca game, and we beat them 6-1. You know, absolute insane, you know, game where there was 1-1 defensive lapse where we fell asleep and Kang In Lee scores. But still the team then after that got, you know, tightens back up a bit. And those are where the defensive issues are showing. Titans back up. It's kind of like they get lazy or fall asleep. But we get back into the game. And essentially, you know, Marco Asensio, who had, you know, had been in the press because he was saying that he was going to have to talk with Ancelotti because of the fact that he felt like he was not getting the playing time, that he was promised playing time at the beginning of the season. And that's one of the reasons Ancelotti wanted to keep him on board. So Ancelotti gave him the run, and he pays us back by scoring a hat trick, 3 goals. Benzema scores 2 goals, and Isco actually scores a goal as well. For all the things that, you know, people have been saying about Isco, he scores a goal as well, comes in, does well. And Isco has actually looked a lot better this season and looked hungrier this season, for sure. So this leads me to the Villarreal game, and which I spoke to a little bit at the beginning. And it's just, you know, I don't know, man. I was actually excited about the starting 11, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously when you are a coach like Carlo Ancelotti, I'm pretty sure one of the things you want to make sure you do is that you don't, you know, when you see an error, you try to fix it, you know. And then obviously, you know, people were asking questions, you know, Nacho at left back. I don't know. For me, I could tell you. I agree with Twitter on that sense. I do not know why we put Nacho at left back if we have Miguel Gutierrez at left back. I don't know if Ancelotti's trying to be fair and repay him for everything he did last season, trying to get him minutes, not let him, you know, get stagnant by being on the bench. But he's definitely, that's not his position. You know, we have Miguel Gutierrez there. We have Ferland Mendy, who unfortunately is not fit, but that will change the dynamic completely when we have Ferland Mendy available. I would much rather play, I mean, as much as people don't like the fact that Nacho at right back isn't like he's way better, but that's more of a place that he's used to playing than left back. So I would rather have had him play at right back you know, and have Militao and Alaba in the middle and Miguel on the left-hand side than having Valverde. But with that said, with having Valverde on as a right back. With that said, though, I don't think, I mean, we've seen Valverde play. He did get tested in that position and used in that position last season by Zidane. So it was another option there that Ancelotti was playing a little bit. Did we miss him in the midfield? Absolutely. Why did we miss him in the midfield? Because Casemiro has not been the same player he was last season. But, you know, I think a lot of people, like I said, a lot of people are not looking at the big picture, is that how much Casemiro has actually played. The likes of Casemiro, the likes of Modric, even the likes of Toni Kroos played so many minutes last season. And then in addition, played with their national teams when they played for like, you know, Modric and Casemiro playing for their national teams, trying to essentially, get titles with their national teams as well, played an insane amount of minutes. And Casemiro really had no relief for him last season. There wasn't anybody who could step in. Modric as well, because Valverde was injured. Zidane wasn't interested in playing Asensio in the midfield role. And then Isco was somebody that had fallen out of favor completely. So there was really nobody there. And then, Odegaard went, you know, to Arsenal. So there was just no other option. So these guys have played so many minutes. And I think it's really taken its toll on Casemiro at this point, because I feel like the fact that Kroos isn't there is putting him in a role where he is looking to play more. Like, I've seen Casemiro play more passes. He's been more of instead of being a defensive midfielder, he's playing more of a sort of a mixed role, and he's trying to be more creative essentially. And he's just not good in a pinch at passing the ball, you know, making really, really clean passes, plays. I mean, he's really good at tackling and getting rid of it quickly. But when he has somebody else that can move the ball up, such as Toni Kroos or Luka Modric next to him. And in this case, we're not seeing that from him. He's trying to do some of that work. And, you're seeing a lot of misplaced passes from Casemiro. I'm seeing a lot of, like, you know, just errors in the midfield. And, you know, against Villarreal, I was looking at the stats before I got on here. We were really outplayed by Villarreal. We were really outplayed completely. We were dribbled past more times. They had more successful dribbles against us than we had successful dribbles against them. The fact that Nacho was on the left-hand side with Vinicius, who doesn't offer really any defensive help whatsoever. Those two guys were getting run at by Juan Foyth all the time. You know, and that was where a lot of times they were able to sneak in and almost get goals on us. I think there was one where it was Danjuma or whatever his name is, was able to almost score one, but he scuffed the shot. There was a lot of opportunities there on that right-hand side. And you could see, looking at the heat map, you could see that they were definitely attacking both the left-hand side and the right-hand side. They were going after the flanks because the flanks was where we're weak. And I understand that a lot of you feel the same way, and I understand it too. And putting Valverde there wasn't helping out the situation. Rodrigo, obviously, being in that position, starting out in that position, in that role, wasn't going to help too much either. But we didn't have Carvajal. We should have brought on Lucas Vázquez, but then a lot of people don't like Lucas Vázquez. You know, and the thing is so crazy because I understand. So we're getting attacked on those flanks, and that's where we're getting beat. We're getting dribbled past. There's no, you know, it's really all in the middle where Alaba and Militao did a great job of, and those, that really is who I feel is most likely going to be our defensive pairing in the middle there. Nacho is going to have to take that right back position. That's where I feel he's going to have to take it if Carvajal is not available. or Lucas Vázquez, as much as you guys might hate him, but that's the options that we have at right back, essentially. That's the position they should be taking. And on the left-hand side, it should be Miguel Gutierrez, and that's it. You know, it should be Miguel Gutierrez. It should be the only option there until you have either Mendy or Marcelo available, and God forbid Marcelo's really like the third string you want there, you know. But when Mendy is back, that's the guy you want to have in that position, and it's going to make a world of difference. So people shitting on the Villarreal game, it's like, look at what we had, essentially. He played with what he had. He made the mistake, I think, with Nacho and Valverde, you know, there as our fullbacks. But besides that, you know, I felt like, you know, the lineup was a good lineup, you know. Some people are talking about, oh, Hazard, you know, Hazard, yes, for the minutes that he played, he looked a lot better. One of the things I will say also that I was wondering too was that I've seen Hazard look a lot hungrier and in front of, you know, in the last few games. That I still, you know, but the fact is Vinicius has been so on fire that you're really not going to try to take that away from him at this point. And I would rather have Hazard sit a little bit back. But in this game, we were giving Asensio, Ancelotti was giving Asensio, you know, I guess paying him back for his role with that hat trick that he got, you know, and Ancelotti was trying to be, I guess, put them there and give them that opportunity. And it was a mistake. It wasn't the thing, you know, it was the same thing that we've seen from Asensio all season, which, I mean, all for the time that he's been at Madrid, which he will absolutely be, he will illuminate the field. He will be amazing for one, two games. Three would be an absolute stretch to say. But then he'll disappear for the rest of the season. And he did that, you know. He did that against Villarreal. And then granted, it's Villarreal, guys. You know, I see a lot of people that have comments, you know, like, oh, you know, but Villarreal is in Mallorca. You know, they were like so angry and so bothered, and there was so much reactionary vitriol being spit at, you know, Ancelotti, that he made, you know, oh, he made these terrible mistakes. He did this. I mean, he's trying out rotations because essentially he's got to play the Champions League. There's a very, very, you know, schedule that is a lot of games, very compacted. He's trying to find out the best thing he can do to conserve the starting 11 that he has. I don't understand what the problem is. You know, he's going to rotate, and sometimes in those rotations, you're going to make mistakes. But I will tell you, nobody in that game against Villarreal looked good. You know, and it wasn't because, and part of it, I don't think, was the lineup. It was just simply that they did not look good. Benzema did not look good. Vinicius was not in the same quality that we saw in the other games. You know, Camavinga was very erratic, I would say. Asensio was missing. Then, you know, our fullbacks were pretty much, you know, completely being overrun. So much so that they were forced back. We never saw them kind of venture up the field as much as we would like, except for at the beginning, where I think there should have been a penalty called, where Nacho did go venture forward and tried and got into the box, and I think was fouled and should have been given a penalty. But that's it. Then after that, it was pretty much, I mean, besides that, the whole time it was Villarreal. And like I said, we were out dribbled, we were out tackled. You know, I think they even won more aerial duels than we did. You know, not just defensively, but offensively as well. They did a good job of winning aerial duels. They were, for all intents and purposes, for that game against Villarreal, for this game that we played on Saturday, they were the better team. And it's weird to me that so many people feel like Villarreal should have been as easy to deal with as Mallorca was. Every game is different. Every team comes and plays differently, especially against Villarreal. Especially against Real Madrid. They come in and they come in fired up and they want to win. They want to beat us. They want to destroy us. They want to do everything they can to spoil the party because this is the team to beat. Every single team in this league gets fired up when they play Real Madrid. And when you're a team of the quality of Villarreal, who has a coach that has won European championships multiple times, Europa League, sure, but he's had, he's a world-class manager. He's doing that for a reason. Is he one of the top four? Probably not. Is he one of the top five? No. But I'm saying, you know, Unai Emery is one of the best. He's won games. He knows how to win games. He knows how to close out games and play in finals. So he knows how to play tough teams like Real Madrid. And he did a good job. And he did a good job against a Carlo Ancelotti that was being experimental. And when you're being experimental, sure, you try to change all the pieces of the puzzle. I think during the game, tactically, from the beginning, the setup, once they discovered it was wrong, Ancelotti's not going to go out and switch everybody on the pitch. He's going to try to maximize what he can and try to figure out how to plug the holes and make the situation somewhat better. Did they come in a little bit late? Sure. But still, I think it's, once again, it's Villarreal. They're no slouches. I mean, yes, they've struggled scoring goals, but then they scored goals previously to our game, to the game against Real Madrid. I think they played Osasuna, or they played some other team. I don't know if it was Osasuna or Granada, and they scored four goals. I don't have it in front of me. So they were able to find the net again. And they didn't have the likes of Gerard Moreno and still caused us problems, but they have other guys that were doing a solid job. Pau Torres, Raul Albiol were doing a solid job defensively. Foyt was doing a good job, a very good job. What is this guy? Danyuma, Capoue, Coquelin, all of them were doing a good job in midfield. Dani Parejo, of course, all of them were doing a solid job. So to say that Real Madrid was shit is one thing, but also that takes away from the fact that Villarreal were actually a solid team and tactically played better than us. Played better than us, not because they were better players, but because they just had a better game. They had a better game, and that's going to happen. And still, we were able to come out with a 0-0 draw. Now, is that saying we want 0-0 draws and it's okay to have 0-0 draws? No, because yes, those points cost you at the end of the season. But it's not all doom and gloom when what we've seen from this team is that they can score goals and they can win. But there's this mentality that you're going to need to, that you're going to be undefeated in La Liga, in any league, to be undefeated is something that is very hard to come by, you know. So, you know, has anyone done it in La Liga? Never. So why is it that we have this expectation that essentially every single game we're going to, we're still undefeated. We just had a draw and people were still up in arms about, you know, the fact that yes, Casemiro isn't playing well. Yes, I understand that. Nacho should have been removed. Nacho should not play at left back. Yeah, I understand that. Nacho should not play at left back. Miguel Gutierrez should have given it a shot. But my question to you guys is, to a lot of people that argue about this stuff is, if we had won that game against Villarreal with that starting 11, Ancelotti would have been praised as an absolute genius playing with the pieces that, you know, he could not, that he had to make up at the last minute because he's lost some, you know, he's still missing some important players, especially in defense. But regardless of the fact, he was still able to squeak out the draw against a team that is a very difficult team that just came from winning the Europa League, you know, that took Chelsea, the Champions League, European champions, Chelsea, that took them to a penalty shootout and lost basically on penalties, you know. So it's insane to me, the people that think that this is just going to be just like Mallorca, you know, that these games are going to be just like Mallorca, dude. You know, or against teams, I don't know, you know, the Elches of the Elche and Granada, who's not doing well at all, Getafe, who's not doing well at all, you know, these games, that's what we're going to do. We're going to beat them. You know, we're going to beat them 7-0, 6-0, 6-1, you know, it's not realistic. Especially with this team that we have that is still evolving and is full of young players that have done nothing this season but show promise. And it's still very early in the season, guys. It's so strange to me to see so much like vitriol and stupidity and fucking, you know, like whining, man. Whining, dude. But you know what? It's just Twitter. Sometimes it's crazy. Like I get so frustrated sometimes on Twitter because it's so toxic sometimes, man. There's just like all these little kids. I swear, man, honestly, like there's all these like copy paste things. And this is just something that I was thinking while I was driving around today to do some errands. But I was thinking about the fact that, you know how you have these like copy and paste responses where it'll be like Pessy, Pinaldo, or it'll say some shit like maybe like it'll be some culé or fan from Atletico or something that'll say, here are my five top teams in La Liga, right? And they'll put five top teams in La Liga of all time, right? And then they'll put like Atletico Madrid, Barcelona, Sevilla, Valencia, Real Sociedad. And they'll go all the way down the list, right? And or they'll just go up to like, let's say 10. And then they'll put like at the bottom something. They'll put like, does anybody not see this fraud club? You know, if you didn't see the fraud club, you know, Real Madrid, not top 10 in my books, you know. And it's the same copy-pasted bullshit, just like reworded. I swear, if you are posting that stuff and you are like under, I mean, if you're posting that stuff, shit like that, and you're like 25 and older. If you're 21 and older and you're posting that shit, fuck, you're a loser, dude. Like seriously, like that is like the most childish bullshit ever to just be copying and pasting other people's crap, you know? The same tired stuff, not top 10 in my book, you know? There's those, or arrest Pessy, or arrest Ronaldo, or arrest, I don't know. It's full of kids, dude. And if you're writing any of that shit and you're over 20, you need to reevaluate your life. You need to reevaluate what you're doing with your life because you suck. And that's just for Twitter people, man. And if you feel called out, I'm calling you out, you know? So that's kind of like the shit that just bothers me, man. And it's kind of like those same people that'll jump in a conversation and be like, say some dumb shit about, you know, once a team, when the team loses, even if they're a fan of the team, they'll be like, oh man, Casemiro's mudded or whatever, you know, some shit like that. He's terrible. Get him off the pitch. He, you know, and it's like, come on, man, you know, he's done so much for the team. He's done such a good job in the past. He can't have two or three bad games. Maybe he's had some rough start to the season. Maybe sit him out for a while. But is Camavinga any better right now? I would say, as much as I like Camavinga, and he does bring a lot of things to the table, the dude is 18 years old. Okay, he was erratic in the game against Villarreal. It wasn't like he was this world beater, you know. Try if Camavinga, okay, the other option, maybe try Camavinga and Antonio Blanco as double pivots, you know, try them and see if they could, but you still take, you know, you're going to take out some creativity from your midfield and play very defensively. Although Camavinga, I would say, definitely can run up the field and do some things offensively as well. But, you know, Casemiro brings such a different, you know, he's got that experience and he's there for a reason. And yes, he's going to have a couple of bad games. Modric is going to have a bad game. Benzema is going to have a bad game. He didn't have a great game the other day. Vinicius, as much as we want him to like be every good, every game, day in and day out, it's not going to happen. There are games, you know, there are guys, there are, Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi had bad days. They still have them. The best teams in the world have bad days. There are days where Lewandowski doesn't score. You know, there are days where Haaland doesn't score and looks human. You know, there are days where there is times when Mbappe does not look good. You know, he didn't have the best Euro Cup. There are days, there are times when our icons, when our idols are not going to do well. But to beat them up after what is what? The seventh game in the season, is it? Sixth game in the season? To beat them up. The seventh game of the season. To beat them up after the seventh game of the season for a draw against the current Europa League champions, who, yeah, they've had some trouble scoring, you know, and they've only had, they've had a bunch of draws, 0-0 draws, or if you don't count the one they had with Atletico, which was a 2-2 draw, which they should have won until Mandi scored, the most crazy own goal I've ever seen in the last minute of a game ever, which means Atletico would have been further back, but they got so lucky from that. It was almost as if Mandi was playing for Atletico Madrid that day. But yeah, man, like, to beat them up after this is way too reactionary, you know. And then, you know, we're going to beat a team like Sheriff. What is it? Sheriff Tiraspol or something from Moldova. We're going to beat them. If we beat them, I mean, we can't underestimate them. They did win their first game. But they are going to, we are going to play them. And if we happen to beat them 5-0 or 6-0 or something like that, then everyone's going to be happy again. You know? And it's because everything improved from one day to the next. And it's like, sometimes you guys don't take into account the opponents that you're playing, you know? The opponents that you're playing and how a team needs to set up in order to play those opponents. I'm sure that Ancelotti thought that that was the best starting 11 he could bring out to play, I don't know, more defensively against Villarreal and try to at least get score on them, you know, and try to not stop them from scoring and then also have an opportunity for them. And it didn't work. It didn't work. And that happens. Coaches do fail a lot of times. But I just don't see it as, yes, it was a draw. It was a 0-0 draw. It was 1 point. We are still, you know, we are still leaders of La Liga. Barcelona is still very much lagging behind. Even though they won their game today and everyone's celebrating Ansu Fati, who happens to be a solid, solid player, of course. And I'm actually glad to see him do well, although I wouldn't like him to do well against Barcelona. I wouldn't like him to do well for Barcelona, but I think he's a very solid talent. But yeah, I mean, they're still behind us and they still got a lot to make up and they got to play Atletico next, you know? So one of them is going to be dropping points. And as long as we continue on at the right time and do the things that we need to do and don't, you know, get complacent, then we're going to do just fine. But we are going to drop points again at some point. Hopefully it won't be a loss and hopefully it'll just be a draw. And hopefully it won't be against teams like Cadiz or teams like Granada or, you know, the teams on the lower end of the table. And that we're able to, you know, beat a lot of these teams, especially at the Bernabeu or away from home. But there is going to be shitty games. There is going to be games that are going to be tough. And what you need to do is put on your Madridista hats and suck it up and realize that in this game, you lose games sometimes. And you are not some sort of football pundit or like super, super, how could I say, like no more than everybody simply because... You know, you can come out on Twitter and shit on everybody and try to say these tactics would have worked and Ancelotti would have won the game if he would have done this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And the starting 11 was total shit and da 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 da. And then just start berating your players and then just, you know, thinking the world is all doom and gloom. I don't know. I mean, some of you act. Like you lose money for every Real Madrid game that they lose or that, you know, for the guys like that, you're losing a left testicle every single time Real Madrid loses or something. Or, I mean, you can only lose it once, but that like somebody's going to cut off your nutsack if they lose. Like that's how some of you react to this shit. Like it's life or death. Get a grip, man. You know, I understand being a fan, but get a grip. It's still 7 games into the season. A 0-0 draw against Villarreal is not something to right now be reactionary about and think that the world is ending. This team has a lot left, and I'm going to support them 100%. A la Madrid, that's what I got to say. And that's the end of my rant today. All right, guys? That's what I'm going to say. With that said, guys, that is the podcast. That's what I have for you guys today. I was very happy to do this show. Again, I am, like I said, I'm going to jump back on everything. We got our stuff fixed. We got the technical difficulties sorted out, which is why I couldn't do the one last weekend. We are on YouTube again, so check us out on YouTube. Definitely check out our YouTube page. Look it up there. Search Y Nada Más Podcast. It'll pop up right away. You'll be able to do that. Subscribe to the page. Hit a notification. Please do that to get this. Help me out. Help us out. Get the subscribe numbers up. And then also, if you are checking us out on Apple, please leave a comment and review. We are on Apple Podcasts. We are on Spotify. We are on Google Podcasts. We are on Stitcher. Tune in. iHeartRadio app. Pretty much anywhere where you listen to podcasts, we are there, ladies and gentlemen. And you can also find us, like I said, again, watch the YouTube channel if you're watching it. If you're not watching it right now, check out the YouTube channel and you can see the video versions of this. Follow us on our social media. It is Y Nada Más Podcast on Twitter. That's me. YNadaMas.net is our website. Y Nada Más Podcast on Facebook and on Instagram. Follow us because my good friend Carlos is doing some great designs and stuff like that that we tried to put on the website there. On the Instagram there. Follow us at YNM Podcast. All right, guys. Thank you very much for listening, guys. Once again, a pleasure to be back on the mic and talking about Real Madrid, you know? So thank you for all the support. Thank you for listening. Talk to you again soon.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid Podcast.